Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for these gifts of grace which you've bestowed upon us, and we give back only a portion of that which you have given. Bless the hearts in the hand, Lord. Bless the hearts and the hands who have given, Lord, and have a special anointing on those who wanted to give but could not. Lord, we ask that you use these gifts of grace for the strengthening of ministry here at Gila Mountain United Methodist Church for this kingdom and the next one to come. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All Saints Sunday is one of my favorite celebrations in the life of the church, because I think it's not only a celebration of humanity and Christ-centered humanity, but it's also a celebration of God. Because somewhere in your life, someone influenced you to be Christ-centered. Somewhere in your life, someone influenced you to be God-centered in all your acts and everything that you do. And because All Saints Sunday is a celebration of humanity doing Christ-centered acts and doing God-centered acts, it's also a celebration of God, because God has had influence over you and me and over people who influenced us in the life of the church. Today is a text that we all know so well. It's the story of Zacchaeus. Whenever I read this text, I'm always reminded of the song. Anybody know the song? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Yeah, I'm always reminded of that song. And it's a story that has an unexpected reversal in it. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And quite often during the Greco-Roman Empire, tax collectors taxed people by unjust measures and by unjust ways. One of the things that tax collectors, they would often leave the poor completely destitute. And the poor would give to the rich. And so the rich were making money off the poor at their own expense. And not only was this man a tax collector that people despised, but he worked for the Roman government, an organization which people despised. So Zacchaeus comes into the picture, and it's not a pretty picture for him. He is not liked by the peers who are most likely there. Now, up to this point, the rich have not fared very well in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke 6:24, Jesus pronounced woes to the rich. In Luke 12:16 and 12:20, God called the rich farmer a fool. In chapter 16, the rich man found himself in Hades, and this is the story of Lazarus, who's up in heaven, a man who's completely destitute. And he went into heaven. In chapter 18, Jesus states how hard it will be for the rich to get into heaven. And so we can expect, simply from these remarks in Luke about economic justice and about the wealthy, that Jesus is not going to have kind words for Zacchaeus, that he's probably going to proclaim some type of judgment on him. But as he often does, Jesus reverses our understandings of things. He does the unexpected within this text. He sees Zacchaeus in a tree. Now, you know, one of the things that I'm always wondering is that, you know, here's a wealthy man, and this is kind of abnormal behavior for someone who's of the upper class to actually climb a tree, you know, so that he could be in the midst of Jesus. But the reason he climbed the tree was because he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. One of my favorite proverbs is, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge." You've heard this? Yeah. And it's often misunderstood, this text is. That word fear is the word yira, which is taken from the Hebrew yar, which means to see. So it doesn't actually mean that we need to be afraid of God. But it means any time that you and I are in the presence of the Lord, that we're being seen by the Lord, that we're in the sights of the Lord, that there's something wonderful that happens in our lives. One of my favorite lines in the Bible is also where Jesus comes to a place where there's lots of people that need lots of help and they're hungry, and he feeds every one of them. But before he feeds them, the scripture reads this way: "And when he saw the crowd..." he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. That somehow seeing someone's life, seeing their experiences, seeing what their traditions are, seeing what they're going through, that actually visualizing someone else and being empathetic towards them is so important. Zacchaeus climbed the tree because he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to be in the presence of Christ. And so this is why he's up in a tree right now. He went out of his way to see Jesus. I think that somehow you and I, this is a part of All Saints Sunday, that somehow, someone went out of their way so that you could know Jesus in your life. That someone went out of their way so that you could know God in your life. That somehow someone wanted Jesus to see you. Someone wanted you to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. That they wanted you to be seen by him. It may have been a father or a mother that wanted you to be seen by Christ. It may have been a grandparent. It may have been a friend. It may have been an acquaintance. But somehow, someone wanted you to be in the presence of Christ, to be seen by him. And we celebrate that emulation and that influence in our lives. Whenever we celebrate on All Saints Sunday, we're not celebrating personalities. We're not celebrating achievements. We're not celebrating accomplishments or characteristics of humanity. We're celebrating the love of God filtered and channeled out through humanity in this world. When Jesus sees Zacchaeus, he has a complete reversal of what we think he's going to do. He says these words to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Today. Now, I must confess to you, I'm not hitting on a whole lot up here, am I? Maybe I should just, you want me to just stand in one place? Let me just stand in one place. That word today is significant, I think. I know that some pastors have favorite gospels and really strive, and the sermons sound better in gospels. I'm one of those. I often feel better acquainted with Matthew and Luke and overwhelmed with John and Mark. Okay, so in the year that we have John and Mark, just know sermons aren't going to be as good. But here in this gospel of Luke, this word is today. And I think for me, one of the reasons that I feel this way is that Luke and Matthew talk about the imminence of Christ. Christ as a friend. Christ is a real human being. Christ is someone who is present. We hear about parables that take place in real time, that every one of us can relate to and identify with, that take place in this moment, in this time. Anybody ever known a prodigal son? I was one. We hear about the lost sheep and the lost coin and these examples, these everyday life examples that make us feel, yeah, Jesus is here with me, that Jesus' presence is right here with me. And so I enjoy Luke for that reason. So the imminence of Christ, a Christ of this moment and this time in this life, is seen in this word today. For Luke, there's a sense of urgency in building the kingdom of God. Immediately, at this moment, at this time, in this life. This word today, the Greek word here is samaron, it's used one time in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 14. Luke uses it 11 times. That somehow there is a sense of immediacy and urgency in building the kingdom of God right now. Today is born to you in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah. Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. That somehow we worship Christ that's not only ever present in our lives, is with us at all times in this moment, but Jesus proclaims that there is an urgency, an urgency in creating a kingdom of God at this moment, in this place, in this hour, today. And I think that that same sense of urgency was in our lives, or has been in our lives, when all those saints influenced us. Today, who ever heard this statement? Today you will go to church. Today you will go to worship service. Today you will sing in the choir. Today we will go down to Crossroads Mission and offer our help to people. Today we will send out numerous prayer shawls to various places, especially the Cancer Center, because they need that today. And truthfully, folks, they may not have a tomorrow. That somehow there is this sense of urgency that we need to do this at this moment. Today, we partake of the body and the blood of Christ, because every one of us need his grace in our lives, and we need that grace here now today. And we will partake of that body and blood of Christ. Timing is everything. The nearness of God can be experienced, demonstrated, and achieved when timing is right. And sometimes, folks, it's not what we do in this world, it's what we don't do. And when timing and the essence of urgency is significant with knowing the nearness of God, sometimes it's about what we do and sometimes it's about what we don't do. Now, I realize that you and I live in a world that often seems stagnant, never moving. Same thing's going to happen today that has happened all week. We're going to have politicians fighting each other. We're going to have a stalemate when it comes to policy and procedure. We're going to have another declining church. We're going to have another person who dies. We're going to have another person who is diagnosed with a mental illness or a disease or something terrible. It just seems like history is in a fishbowl and that nothing ever changes. But know this. Within this gospel, there is no reason for Jesus not to proclaim judgment on Zacchaeus, but he didn't. There's no reason for Jesus not to wince and glare at this man, but he didn't. We thought that Jesus would create judgment for Zacchaeus, but he didn't. Today, Jesus stopped for a single person that went out of his way to be in his presence. Today, you and I can do something special for somebody through acts of mercy or kindness or compassion that people will not expect, and they will feel the nearness of God. Today, God's kingdom can be initiated, created, or maintained by our acts of service, which are Christ-centered. Today, you can hear someone's story that needs to be heard. Today, you can offer a hand to someone who desperately needs it. Today, you can offer a voice to the voiceless. Today, you and I can demonstrate the life, vision, mission, and ministry of Jesus Christ through our acts of generosity, our acts of kindness, our acts of mercy, and our acts of compassion. Today, we can bring someone to Christ in this world, a person whom the world did not expect to be Christ-centered. We can do it because we saw the Scripture doing this today. Today, we can reverse an unforgiving heart. Today, we can begin to reverse racism and sexism and classism and any areas that are unjust in God's world. Today, we can create a kingdom of God. Today, we can create a kingdom of God on this earth, in this time, in this moment. We can do that all today. And it can be a kingdom which was just like the ones created for all those saints of yesteryear that influenced us, that made us think, that made us want to be more like Jesus Christ, and to all those saints who are now worshiping in the Christian church triumphant. Today, we celebrate all those saints, those past saints that nurtured us in Christian discipleship, those past saints that nurtured us in Christian faith, those present saints that continue to nurture us in Christian discipleship and Christian faith, and all those future saints who will be working for the life of the church. By celebrating all Christ-centered saints, alive and well in this world, and those who have gone before us, we celebrate the imminence of God, a God who is with us, a God who is always present, who can reverse lives with his presence, who lives in your life, who lives in mine. And on this All Saints Sunday, We celebrate the God of today, and we understand the urgency of creating a kingdom God in this moment, in this time, today. Will you pray with me? Lord, you call us to an expectation and an urgency. Allow us to respond in a way which is pleasing in your sights. Allow our motives and our understandings to be God-centered and Christ-centered in this world. Allow us to commemorate and understand and hold in our memory all those saints who honored us, who nurtured us, who showed a Christ-centeredness to us. And allow us to respond by channeling the love of God throughout this world. Lord, we often feel that this world is stagnant, that history repeats itself, that things are going downhill, that we see such negativity and such intolerance in this world. But you call us, Lord, to create a kingdom of God in this place, in this time, today. And so allow us, Lord, if it's just one person, to show a Christ-centeredness to people always and everywhere, and to create a kingdom of God in your world, and to expose and demonstrate the love of Christ always and everywhere, that future saints may follow the lead of those who emulate the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen.